Deepa Samuel, Taking Your Soul Off the Market, Practical Ways to Deepen Your Character. When I was in my late 30s, I went on my first personal retreat. I had been on structured retreats before with spiritual directors, pastors, and professors, but this one was different. I made up all the rules myself. It was just going to be me, disconnected from the world for 3 days. Think of it as solitary confinement for the soul. I reasoned that by being alone for 3 days, I could do soul surgery, boosting my character so much that I'd basically be done for years. And because I was all by myself, I would definitely hear from God. You know what happened over those 3 days? I got bored. Fast. Do you have any idea how quiet it is when you shut off your phone, turn off all the devices, and sit there alone? Do you know how weird it is to sit in utter silence? It's strange to have nothing on the calendar, no one to talk to, no one to distract you, and nothing to look forward to but a bowl of soup 4 hours from now. Blaise Pascal was right. The sole cause of man's unhappiness is that he does not know how to stay quietly in his room. I expected the retreat to be spiritual growth on steroids. Mostly, it was just me sitting by myself alone with nothing to do. I prayed, but you run out of things to say over 3 days. I read my Bible, but I read it every day anyway. I journaled, but how much can you write? I finally gave myself permission to jump online. I gave myself permission to watch sermons because, well, that was spiritual. Much to my disappointment, nothing profound happened during those 3 days, no big revelation. There was nothing particularly character-building or life-changing. But what I've come to realize is that character development, for the most part, does not happen in some monastery with stone walls and dank cellars. It happens in the grind of everyday life. It has to, because that's where your character gets challenged the most. In parking lots, during meetings, amid marital conflict, and at home when you're exhausted and the garbage still needs to be taken out and you trip over the kids' shoes. I'm all for retreats and will surely do more, but if you don't have a day-to-day strategy, you'll never win the battle for your soul. After watching my character get challenged over the years, I made up a formula that has helped me so much. It's not really math, but if I express it that way, it reminds me of what's really needed. The antidote to compromise is simply this. Work twice as hard on your character as you do on your competency. It could be that you need to work 5 times harder or 10 times harder. I don't know. Twice as hard feels doable, and it's a reminder that I'm likely going to resist it, so I'd better pay attention. According to Jesus, very few people ever manage to do it. Have you ever heard the teaching Jesus gave when he said, "The gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it"? If you have, you've probably heard it explained as though it's about becoming a Christian, that very few people ever really trust their lives to Jesus. I understood it that way because that's how I'd heard it taught. I think that's one application for sure, but I wonder if Jesus had another application in mind, one that shows us how critical character development is and how rare it is. Consider again how he phrased it. The gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. If you read this text purely as a commentary on becoming a Christian, it's inconsistent with the rest of the New Testament message, which says our salvation doesn't depend on our goodness. Our salvation instead depends on trusting our lives to Jesus, who died and rose again to forgive our sins and give us life. After all, becoming a Christian is not about us being good. It's about God being good to us in Christ. Our response is to trust in Christ. The context of this teaching provides clues as to what Jesus was talking about. Jesus offered this commentary on the road to life as he was summing up perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached, popularly called the Sermon on the Mount. Even if you don't read the Bible, you may be familiar with Jesus' teachings from that sermon. In those passages, Jesus talked about loving our enemies and not judging people. He even laid down the golden rule that you should do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. The Sermon on the Mount contains some of Jesus' best known and most powerful teaching. Surely Jesus wasn't saying that only if we obey every last bit of the Sermon on the Mount will we enter heaven. As in, only a few of you will ever be this righteous, and if you are, welcome to heaven. If that's the case, we're all doomed. Me especially. No, I believe Jesus meant that on the other side of trusting him as Lord, there's a different life, a reshaping of your life, that's only found in completely trusting your character and soul to God. It doesn't save you. Instead, it's a response to being saved.